Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about prayer. In my last talk, I said that I really don't know who I'm talking to, of course. I don't know who you are or where you are, in the kitchen, driving the car, maybe sick in bed, maybe in a hospital or a prison. But I'm pretty sure that I'm not talking only to people who believe everything I'm saying. I imagine that there are a good many of you out there wondering what good all this stuff is likely to do you. What does she talk about that makes any very important difference to me? I'm talking about four subjects which I really believe will make your life noticeably different. They apply to everybody. I always hope that every program in some way has implications and application to every life. And that's why we've entitled our program Gateway to Joy, because God has provided in each one of our lives those small gateways. The gateway into eternal life is coming to Jesus, being willing to stoop and humble ourselves, be small enough to recognize that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. It's a small gate, Jesus said, that leads into life, the life that he holds out for us if we will humble ourselves and accept him as Savior, is a very wide and glorious life. It's not a narrow life at all, but it takes a small gateway to enter into that life. And once we've done that, then each day provides opportunities to stoop, to be willing to limit ourselves in some way, give up the right to ourselves, do those small, humble, unseen acts of kindness, which God knows how to transform into joy. If you're suffering in some particular way, that in itself, paradoxically, can be your gateway to joy. Because my Bible tells me that it is out of weakness that God's power can be made perfect in us. It tells me that that which is perishable is going to be made imperishable. That humiliation is the route to glory. That poverty can be turned into riches. Think about those things. I spoke yesterday about forgiveness. Forgiveness applies to all of us. Prayer is another one that applies to all of us. In the next two talks, it will be a peaceful heart and an inextinguishable hope. These are four things which certainly characterize the Christian life. Forgiveness, prayer, a peaceful heart, and an inextinguishable hope. Wouldn't that set us apart from one who is not a believer? Shouldn't there be visible differences? Differences which change the very climate of our homes and our lives. As Dr. James I. Packer has said, there is no conversion without convertedness. What do you think he means by convertedness? Well, the signs of conversion. Behavior which indicates that you are converted. And among them is prayer. Prayer sometimes is thought of as a pill. If everything else fails, then take the pill of prayer. It might work, and after all, what can you lose? Some might think of it as a pastime for religious people. Oh yeah, she's one of those people that's sort of into praying, but I'm not really into praying. Well, I'd like to ask you today, what are you into? Is it something that you do if you like it? Something you do if you're good at it? Or if you can afford the trouble? Or just something you do in your spare time? Quite honestly, I find that prayer is work. It's hard work, and I'm not the only one that thought so. Listen to what Martin Luther had to say. It is a tremendously hard thing to pray aright. Yea, it is verily the science of all sciences, even to pray so that the heart may approach unto God with all gracious confidence and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. For he who can take to himself such confidence of grace is already over the hill of difficulty and has laid the foundation stone of the temple of prayer. And Catherine of Siena said this, Perfect prayer is not attained by the use of many words, but through deep desire. And John Climacus said this, We know the utility of prayer from the efforts of the wicked spirits to distract us during the divine office. Have you ever experienced the efforts of wicked spirits to distract you? Well, the wicked spirits can come in many different forms, can't they? But I am very aware, as soon as I try to pray, of the power of the enemy to work against that which he fears more than anything else, because I do believe that Satan is aware of the power of prayer. With very good reason, he is going to obstruct any one of us that's serious about praying. It's work. Work takes time. It takes energy. It takes concentration. Well, you say, I got to make a living somehow. Well, a Christian has to make a living too. A Christian has to live a Christian life. And it is the work of a Christian to pray. It is the way to make a living in the spiritual sense. Why should we pray? Well, for one thing, because we follow a master who prayed. And we are to follow him and to do as he did. If Jesus, who was God, was in fact the very effulgence of his being and the express image of his person, if that Jesus needed to pray, can I imagine that I can do without it? He taught us also to pray, not only by example, but by precept. When he taught us to pray, he said, Pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. All kinds of questions come up in our minds, though, about prayer. Will my prayers change God's mind? Well, that's a mystery, which I can't answer. But I do know that it is a law of the universe, in harmony with which I may act, just as I may act in harmony with the law of gravity. If I go to pour milk out of a pitcher, I am expecting the law of gravity to make that milk fall from the pitcher into the glass. If God has built into the universe the law of prayer, as he also built the law of gravity, then I can act in accord with that law, and God will see to it that the results take place. God's omnipotence is not impaired by his having ordained my participation. Let me say that again. God's omnipotence is not impaired by his having ordained my participation. In his all-powerfulness, he ordained that I have a place, a part, a task in washing my hands or in helping a friend through prayer. God does not wash my hands for me. God is not going to do the praying that he wants me to do. If I know that a friend needs help, and I'm not in a place where I can physically help that person, and this happens often when I pray for my daughter who lives on the other side of the continent, I'm grateful to God that I'm not helpless because he has given me a means of helping by prayer. But it is work. We are workers together with him. And whenever a person prays, spiritual forces will certainly oppose him. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Prayer is the key of heaven. The Spirit helps faith to turn this key, said Thomas Watson. I'm giving you some old quotes from ancient books, but it is an arduous and a laborious undertaking. And let's not shrink from it just because it is work. Samuel Taylor Coleridge wrote this, "Believe me, to pray with all your heart and strength, with the reason and the will, to believe vividly that God will listen to your voice through Christ, and verily to do the thing he pleaseth thereupon, this is the last, the greatest achievement of the Christian's warfare upon earth." May God teach us to pray, teach us the power of prayer, the privilege of prayer, and the practice of prayer. But if you're anything like me, you know that it's not going to just happen. You must arrange for it. It's a good thing to plan a time of prayer into your schedule. Plan a place for it and be there. God will be there to meet you. Will you be there on time with him? But then, of course, if something happens to interrupt that special time which is set apart, that's no excuse for not finding another time during the day. You can pray when you're driving. You can pray when you're peeling onions. Pray when you're rocking the baby. Pray in your lunch hour. Pray at all times. But pray. The main thing is, do it.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.